The Ticket.
Podcasts are brought to you in part by Lewis Jewelers, the official jeweler of The Ticket and proud partner of Michigan Athletics.
Welcome back inside the MDN studio. Sports Talk 1050 WTK, The Ticket online at WTK.com. For all your Michigan apparel and merchandise needs, make sure to visit our friends at the MDN. And if you're heading out to maybe East Lansing on Saturday, or maybe you're coming up to Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort on Saturday, you're going to want to be in the finest maize and blue attire. We were talking with our friends at Grand Traverse Resort yesterday when they stopped by. And while they were here in town, we're like, are you guys going to hit up the MDN? And as Eric mentioned when he was on the air with us, he's going to the game on Saturday, so he's going to get some fresh gear.
Get the finest of linens.
That's right. And Jillian, who was here, she's like, I have people in town, clients that are going to be there that she's working with on Saturday. And I was like, well, you know, if you go over to the Victor's Collection, they've got some of that nicer gear that is work appropriate. So you can wear maize and blue gear with block hems while you were at work. And she looked at me. She goes, oh, really?
The finest of linens.
So we sent them over there to gear up and shop and make sure they were maize and blued out and decked out for their weekend festivities. Eric at the game, Jillian doing work, but watching the game and cheering on the maize and blue from afar. And you could do the same with our friends at the MDN and the Victor's Collection, the official outfitters of Sports Talk 1050, WTKA, The Ticket, to help us get ready for the game. As we do each and every Thursday here on the show, we go back to the Wednesday press conference with the coaches, and we start assistant coaches, and we start with Michigan offensive line coach Ed Warner.
Just the consistency of how they played and our ability to go in at halftime, kind of make some adjustments, and really get rolling in the second half with, improved play even and more consistency. So we were able to, you know, just run the ball consistently against a really good defense. And so that was very pleasing in just the style we did it in.
What were some of those adjustments that you made?
The adjustments are just what are they doing and what are the best plays in our library of plays we have ready for the game to run against them. So it's really, this is what they're doing, this is our library plays, which ones are going to work best against them, and then use those. So not really changing anything, just saying we're going to go with these assortment, because you carry a library of plays into every game and the defense dictates which ones you use, you know, or how they're playing the defense.
How many of those plays do you maybe hold back just to see what the other team is, you know, doing early on?
In games like that, you don't hold anything back. I mean, you decide what you want to start the game with, and you say this is what we think they will be, and then once the game starts, once the opening kickoff starts, everything's about adjustment. Prior to the opening kickoff, it's all about preparation based on what you know. Once the ball's kicked off and the first play starts, now it's about adjusting to what is really going on. And so you make those adjustments throughout the course of the game, but I think, you know, what adjustments or what things we decided to focus on in the second half worked out well for us.
From the night at Notre Dame to last Saturday night, what jumps out at you about this line that has really gotten a lot better?
The number one thing is just how they prepare. And because they're preparing well, with focus, with great practices, with physicality and practice, that's showing up on Saturday. So every week they've continued to do that, and every week they've continued to get better. So I really like that about them. I would just say that, each one of them have improved in areas they needed to improve in. But collectively, like yesterday when we practiced, I'm standing there and I like what I'm seeing. I like how they practice. I like how it looks. I like how it feels. I like how it sounds. And when that happens, then I know good things are headed in our direction. So we're starting to do things like that. So just that consistency of the level we want them to play at, they're doing it during the week. So then in the games are easier because they're practicing like they're preparing, you know.
What's been the main reason for, you know, these guys seem to be a good zone line at this point. Maybe last year they weren't as much. What's been the change, or what's helped them in that area?
The focus of what we do more of in practice.
Just hammering it, those concepts more then?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a zone guy. Right, yeah. I grew up in zone concepts. Zone concepts block all defenses. Mm-hmm. I mean, you get multiple looks from people. So zones are really good against all different looks and all different blitzes. So you have to have a certain assortment of those in your pocket.
Do you think any type of lineman, like big, big linemen, fleet of foot linemen?
Athletic, tough linemen. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Athletic guys that are tough, that play really hard and have a certain football IQ to them that they can progress along and you can do some schematic things with them.
Mm-hmm. Conversely, Michigan State has a tough run defense. What is the challenge that they bring?
Oh, they have a very solid run defense. They have a very good defense staff, very good defensive coaches. They're well coached. They understand their defense very well. They understand the adjustments they need to make in that defense. If you're attacking them like this, they have answers that they get to quickly. And they haven't steered away from that defense, so they have banked reps, cumulative knowledge of it. So you have to be really good at what you're doing because they're going to play physical, they're going to play technique, they're going to make good adjustments, and you have to match that with the same thing, great physical play, great technique, and you have to make your adjustments and do your things and try to stay ahead of them.
You need a nasty streak in a game like this for alignment.
Oh, I think to play in the Big Ten, you have to have a nasty streak to be an offensive lineman, yes. But in rivalry games, it's just about the will to win and competing every snap and finishing. And, you know, because these games come down to the fourth quarter and they come down to a play here, a play there, a stop here, a third down conversion, or whatever, a goal line stand. I mean, and a lot of that is about how you're trained and are you mentally and physically physical and tough enough to fight your way through those situations and win them, because it's going to come down to players are going to win this game. It's not going to be the coaches win this game. The players are going to win. The guys who jog out there on the field and play are going to win the game, and it's going to be matchups, and it's going to be one-on-one battles, and it's going to be situational football, and who gets the job done better in those situations will come out ahead. But yeah, I mean, you better be strapped up to win the Paul Bunyan. Yeah.
Ben Ferguson mentioned after the game having all the former All-American linemen captains last week. Did you get a chance to pick any? I think a couple of guys spoke to the linemen Friday night.
Yeah, that was really a great opportunity for me to meet a bunch of the former greats that came back. We got to meet some of them at Friday after our practice. Then, of course, I saw them on the sideline before the game. Some of them got to go out there, you know, for the coin toss. And it was very emotional to them. They were very excited to be here. They were very, they just love Michigan. And they're tough guys who gave their hearts and soul for the program, won a lot of football games. And they were just back here to support us and support the offensive lines especially. And our guys didn't want to let them down. So
Ben also mentioned his pride in the low number of penalties that the offensive line is had this year. How do you emphasize that and enforce that when like mistakes are made in practice?
That you don't get coached. There's no snap that if you do something you're not supposed to do, it isn't addressed. There's no, we'll just overlook that. He's a good kid. Oh, he didn't mean it. No, there's nothing. Every snap is coached. Every snap is addressed. They know that if they do something that they shouldn't do in practice, there will be a consequence. Because they need to know that, because in a game there's a consequence. It cost our team 5 yards. It cost our team 10 yards. It cost our team 15 yards. It cost our team a sack, a negative yard, when they don't do what they're supposed to do. So they are forced and held to a standard mentally, physically, that they have to perform and practice. And that's what I'm talking about. When I watch them now, I'm not having to coach every play as hard as I did earlier, because I can tell they don't want to make a mistake in practice. They don't say this rep doesn't matter. They don't say, oh, I'll get it tomorrow. Every rep matters. And so they're practicing like that because every rep matters in the game. So it's just a standard we hold them to. I'm proud of that stat too. You know, that we have one holding penalty in, what, 7 games? And we have 3 illegal procedure penalties. So we have 4 offensive line penalties in 7 games. I mean, I'm pretty proud of that. That just shows guys care, they're disciplined, and they're doing what we ask them to do the right way. Hopefully we can continue to play at that level where those mistakes are minimized.
You've known Mark D'Antonio a long time, coached against him many times. What's the common thread of why his teams are always the way that they are in games like this especially?
Well, first of all, puts together a great plan. He's very organized. He likes to develop players in his system so they understand the system. They get players that fit their system. They play a very tough brand of football. They're very physical. They know how to stop the run, which are trademarks of, you know, great teams and great defenses. Then that carries over to their offensive staff, so on and so forth. He's very even keeled in his approach, very consistent in his approach. I mean, these are the things I don't work with them, but these are the things I would know about him and just watching how they perform consistently over time. So, he's a great leader. He's likable. I think his players love him, you know, and they play hard for him, and you can see that.
What was he like as a roommate, or what did your experience together as young coaches at Akron do for you?
Well, that was a long time ago, you know, and so we were just two guys who loved coaching football, loved the opportunity. We were learning. We were working together. So we enjoyed that time together, and we hit it off and had a great relationship, and that's carried through. Obviously, our paths have gone different directions. So we don't get to spend as much time together, but when we are together, it's like we haven't been apart. Yeah. And then obviously now that I work here, that's going to change a little bit. But as far as, is he a good man? He's a good man, and you respect him, and you respect what he's done, and great family guy, got a great family. So.
When you made the choice to go to Michigan State back then, how big of a turning point was that for you in your life and career?
It was huge, because I was finishing up being a graduate assistant at Akron U. I got my master's degree, and I got hired as a high school coach in Ohio and actually had signed a contract. And I got an opportunity to go there to be a college coach, and I knew deep in my heart that's what I wanted to do. So I had to tell a high school coach that I respect a lot and a great situation at the high school level that I wanted to go to college and coach and be a graduate assistant. So I did that, and I went there and had a great experience and worked with George Perlis, Nick Saban, and learned a lot of football, and the connections I made there connected me to my next job at West Point. And I met my wife there. So for me, it couldn't have been a more positive experience. Those 2 years I spent there that started me on my journey and connected me with a lot of people that actually helped me. Because Norm Parker, I worked with the first year up there, and Norm Parker was Bob Sutton's head coach in high school, and Bob Sutton was the defensive coordinator at Army, who coached here with Jim Young. So a Michigan State guy connected me to my Michigan people that I met at Army, and I worked with six or seven Michigan former coaches and graduates. You know, so I worked with a great number of people that are part of this program at Michigan at West Point. But I was connected to them through a Michigan State coach that I GA'd with at Michigan State, Norm Parker, who's since deceased, but was a great person, great coach. It's funny how coaching goes. That's why it's all intertwined.
You've obviously been at Notre Dame and Michigan State. We get Ohio State later this year. How different is it being on this side of the rivalry here at Michigan compared to being on the other side?
And they're all the same because they're very important to the players on this team, to the alumni, to former players. I mean, they're all important. They're important to us. We get the significance of them. It's a privilege to be a part of programs that have these kind of rivalries. You turn it up a notch. That's why you do this. You know, these are the great opportunities, the fun games, the memories you have of playing in these games, coaching in these games for me, stay with you a lifetime. So I can remember this game as a GA 30-some years ago, coaching up there as a GA and coming down here and playing in this game and playing up there. And I can remember the same against Notre Dame. And then all of a sudden, it's funny, you know, you reflect back like, man, 30-some years ago I was coaching this game, but now I'm on the other side. But you never know how life's going to take you in your journey. You just do the best you can and keep moving.
With the crowd noise, they've said in the past they were able to time snap counts and really had some success with the eight gap blitzes. How do you counter that when you have to go silent?
Yeah, we have to keep them off balance, so we have to have some different tools in our snap count arsenal. I mean, we just have to be smart with that. But yeah, I mean, that's what good defenses do. That's what they study. They study all the details of how you operate on offense, and they try to find something that they can take advantage of. And we have to do a good job of making sure that they can't take advantage of that. I mean, we did play at Notre Dame. We did play at Northwestern. There was significant crowd noise at Notre Dame. We managed that pretty well. Hopefully we practice with crowd noise out there. I mean, it makes your ears hurt after practice, so hopefully we can do a good job of managing that and not letting them have the advantage, although there is always an advantage when you're at home.
That is the great Ed Warner, Michigan offensive line coach. Man, those guys are playing good football, and they've just got to, it has to translate now on the road. So he was just talking about at the end, crowd noise and everything else that goes into playing on the road. We're going to hear from Chris Partridge, also give you some Michigan football news next. This is the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTK, The Ticket.